flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good morning, folks. Hope you are having a great Wednesday morning. You know, you really feel the excitement in the city as we're getting closer and closer to the Super Bowl. So many different things happening, and we're going to talk a lot about that in the 11 o'clock hour with both Michael Heck and Chris Kane, who is the outgoing board chair for G&O Inc. We'll discuss this Super Bowl Palooza, as Michael Heck has coined it, as their role, and we'll give you an update on everything that's going on in the city as it relates to repairs to the streets, lighting, this, that, and otherwise. And also, most importantly, we'll give you timelines as to roadways being shut down in advance of the event, what to avoid, where to go to find the best information as it relates to all of that. And it's both a combination of G&O Inc. and New Orleans & Company and the information that they are providing. And you really want to get on both of their websites sooner rather than later, because you get all of the updates as to what's happening in the city. So many different free opportunities to really partake in the festivities surrounding the Super Bowl, which is huge. And we're going to talk a lot more about that. And in the back half of this hour, we'll visit with Brian Fair, Deputy U.S. Marshal, Crime Stoppers, G&O, Crime Stoppers G&O, excuse me, and U.S. Marshals Service New Orleans Task Force sponsored Operation Boudat 2024. They recently ended that task force in mid-January, and we'll talk about the outcome of Operation Boudat. And then Ron Fauché joins us in the 12 o'clock hour, and we'll talk about the most recent polls that are out there. We'll talk about President Trump's rapid-fire start. What is going on with his cabinet appointees? Was just watching the Robert F. Kennedy confirmation hearing. Very contentious thus far. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not he is able to make it through the process. As we've talked about Super Bowl a lot of folks have asked the question repeatedly over and over again, why are we doing this? Why does it take a Super Bowl? Why does it take this? Why does it take that? There's a whole host of reasons for it, right? You want to leverage every opportunity you can to achieve any number of things. But what's interesting is I started about a week ago reading the Kansas City Star, the Philadelphia Inquirer, you know, and the others that were in the Buffalo paper, as well as in Washington, and now I've kind of narrowed it down to the two. Watching what they're saying about us and watching what's being posted about the city of New Orleans and watching about how they are going to address their fans and what information they will be providing to their fans as they really just hit the websites and wanted to start booking trips, and everyone had been booking hotel rooms, and there's transfers now going on back and forth. Folks canceling reservations, rebooking reservations, a lot of activity. The frenzy is out there. There's no doubt. And you come across articles that are kind of a little zany that are out there, but that are a lot of fun and really talk about some of the little nuances of New Orleans. And I came across one just yesterday, actually, in the Kansas City Star. And it was interesting to me. It was the author is a guy by the name of David Hudnall. He's a writer. He's a journalist, right? And he says, he starts the article, and I'm just going to read it. It's a short article. I'll read it to you because I think it's kind of interesting. And it really talks about some of the things that we enjoy. It's not all that we are. I get it. And I know I'm going to get some comments about, this is all that New Orleans is. But these are the kind of little nuanced stories that I think are really difference makers for people, that pique folks' curiosity about this place that we call home, right? And he starts out the article, people sometimes ask me, what would you do if you washed out of the reporting business? It's a fair question. These are not exactly tenured positions we're working here in local journalism. My stock answer is that I plan to move to New Orleans and bartend until I die. It is not really a joke. I have bartended on and off throughout my career in journalism, like many folks, right? Really? I mean, that's just a little commentary. It's a nice side hustle. Sometimes customers even bless you with story tips. I don't really have any other skills besides writing and bartending. So that's the backup plan. Work at a bar. And the way I figure it, if I'm going to be bartending full time, New Orleans is the place to do it. If I plan to surf every day for the rest of my life, I'd move to Oahu. If I'm going to be serving drinks, I may as well do it in the most festive city in America. Maybe it's a dreamy and unrealistic plan, but New Orleans has the effect on people. I visited for the first time 10 years ago and have been back just about every year since. Sometimes you go to a place and it just agrees with you. You feel more like yourself there. That is how I feel in New Orleans. I sometimes dance when I'm in New Orleans. Nobody in Kansas City has ever seen me dance. Over the next 10 days, I'll be writing a bunch of stories from New Orleans that I hope will illuminate some things about the city that make it so special. I don't actually know what those stories are yet, though. I'll figure it out when I get there. In the meantime, I thought I'd mention a few bars I'm excited to hit up after I touch down Wednesday. I don't claim to be an expert on the city, but I know some gems. So these are the types of, articles that you get when you host a Super Bowl. And you can multiply this by X, right? But these are the things that this one individual says about, I found a city where I feel more comfortable than the place that I'm living at the present time. Those types of stories are compelling. And when, as a dancer, as someone who loves to dance, it's funny. I was talking yesterday about going to see the Eagles at the Sphere. The one rule at the Sphere that just drove me crazy is that you could not stand up and dance. They didn't allow it. The moment you did, they had like a laser light thing that shined on you, telling people to sit down. It was the craziest thing ever. After the concert, I ran into a guy waiting for the ladies that were in a long restroom line, and from Michigan. And he said, you know, I was on the front row and I stood up and they kept telling me to sit down. And I said, yeah, it was really weird. He goes, where are you guys from? I said, New Orleans. He goes, well, we don't dance as much as y'all do. But I'm going to tell you, if they were playing in Michigan, there is no way we would have sat down through the entire concert. These are those little nuanced things that you just can't buy, right? You can't. You can't find them. These are gems. These are what are called gems. It's something that Walt Leger and I and Michael Heck and I talk a lot about. It's, and this one just kind of struck me that in a couple of paragraphs hit the real nuance about what it was for this individual. That he revealed things about himself here that he did not at the place that he calls home. A little striking. I know people are going to text in and say, okay, what are the bars that he wants to, that he's already picked out for folks in Kansas City to visit when they come to this town next week or maybe even before. First off, and I'll just name them, Molly's at the Market, Pal's, Tipitina's, BJ's Lounge, St. Rock Tavern, The Apple Barrel, Sazerac Bar, Hot Tin, Chart Room, Miss Mays. He's obviously been here quite a bit because there are some on this list that a lot of people don't know anything about. But these are the reasons why you want a Super Bowl. These are the reasons why you work so hard. These are the reasons why we are very fortunate to have individuals that put themselves out there to make sure that this place that we put on the lipstick, we put on the best show that we can, because we know that human nature is the first impression is the lasting impression, and we want to make sure that these folks come back, like this individual, for 10 years in a row, coming back after he had an occasion to visit the city. And that's why it's so important for us to host these issues. And that's why it's so important to put our best foot forward as well. We'll talk a lot about that with Michael Heck, and I know that we're going to have Walt Leger on at some point either this week or next week, and we'll talk more about those topics as well. I wanted to... I came across something. It's been talked about on a lot of the cable news networks, something that is very interesting, and it is a byproduct, and we're going to talk about this with Ron Fauché a little bit about what's happening with the speed in which things are progressing with the Trump administration in a short period of time. We're finding out a lot about how we have spent our money in this country, and it just struck me as I was reading through a list of headlines, as I'm looking through stories, as I do every day, every night, trying to find little tidbits of things that kind of strike you as odd, and you wonder, how did we get to this point that we would decide to spend money on certain things? So I came across this headline, and it occurred to me, how did we get there? Was there someone that walked into somebody's office in the State Department and said to someone in a position of authority, you know, it occurred to me that a good expenditure for this administration in the waning months of this administration, that we should send $50 million to Gaza for them to buy condoms. What do you think? And the unbelievable reality is we did it. Who in their right mind thought in the list of priorities of what the Palestinian people needed in Gaza was $50 million to fund the purchase of condoms? What research was conducted, what evidence was brought forward that this would be an expenditure that this country would be proud of on any day, much less in the aftermath of what has gone on in Israel, that this would be a wise expenditure. Yeah, you ever had your curiosity piqued that way? Where you wonder who would have the guts to bring that topic up in a serious manner? And who would take it, receive it, and send it up the chain and have everybody approve same? That's what I got. Hey, can you imagine the conversations in and around this topic? Or maybe there, I don't know, maybe I'm foolish. Maybe there was no conversation at all and they just threw it in there and it was like a bingo game and they just wrote down on a ping pong ball what they think should be spent in Gaza and they just started pulling balls out of a cage and whatever it was, that's what they decided that they were going to fund that day, and they were just sending money. Well, let's hope not. I don't know which is better, to be quite honest with you. Now that I'm hearing myself actually say it out loud, I'm not certain what is a better option. One, that we actually had deliberate conversation about this, or two, that we just picked ping pong balls out of a cage. And then I get a text here, well, if you can keep two terrorists from being born, it is worth the $50 million. Think about it hard, Newell. Really? You have, do you have any understanding of what's going on there? And do you really believe that the terrorists were the only ones that were going to use condoms and that they were actually going to get into the hands of terrorists only? Or is that what we printed on the condom to be used by terrorists only? Obviously, you didn't think about it very hard. The reality here is that the silliness of what we're funding in this country begs of DOGE. It begs of a number of different things. And now someone had actually thought about this is that a number of these folks follow a religion that don't allow contraceptives. And of course, they're saying there's no truth to that story. No, there is truth to that story. And that story has been reported in many different ways. And actually, there are documents to show that there is truth to that story and that it continues on and on and on in this government. And, you know, folks don't want to believe that certain things are being funded, and we find out about it all the time. I used to keep a list. I wish I could grab that list in this mess that I call my office. But it exists. And the same thing goes on and on. We're sending condoms and funding condoms for a number of other countries. We're sending money for LGBTQ activities and things in other countries as well. I guess all of that is not true. All of it, right? It's the same thing that was out there as it relates to the border or otherwise. So there's a lot of things that are going on that are hidden in these items where we're funding. And I'm not suggesting that the pause that was done by Trump was necessary. If you're going to do a pause, I think you need to be very explicit. You need to be very descriptive. You need to gain a better understanding of exactly what all the downstream implications are, because there are a lot of folks that rely on federal funding, and a lot of the necessary programs in this country are need to be funded by the federal government. And there's no sense in creating a level of hysteria out there and just be a little bit more measured and strategic in your messaging in what you're doing with the pause. But it's certainly worth some type of exercise, right? To look at some of the funding measures that are out there that seem to be a little bit crazy. When there's so many needs that our own folks have. I was just watching the first hour of the the RFK confirmation. And there seems to be agreement that our healthcare delivery system is a mess. Our outcomes are horrible. For the leader of industrialized nations, we're not number one. We're not anywhere near it. And we wonder why. And it's not necessarily just a money issue. It's something that is much bigger than that. But the fact of the matter is that that's not an excuse to go spend silly money in silly ways in silly places for what? And it seems that we just need to get a little bit more focused. In the end, it's not really all about the condoms, is it? No, it's not. It's really about looking critically in the mirror and understanding what our role is. What are we actually elected to do? And what is it that the voters want us to do relative to the spend? And become a little bit more focused there and a little less crazy as to some of these other issues that we're looking to fund around the world. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. This is Newell on WWL. Stay with us.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, Crime Stoppers GNO and the U.S. Marshals Service New Orleans Task Force sponsored their annual Operation Boudat 2024 from October 22nd of 24 to January 18th of 2025. The operation was a partnership between the New Orleans Police Department, Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office, Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, Kenner Police Department, St. Bernard Parish Sheriff's Office, St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office, Louisiana Probation and Parole, Homeland Security Investigations, and USMS New Orleans, United States Marshals Task Force, New Orleans Task Force. And they just completed that operation. And joining us is Brian Fair, Deputy U.S. Marshal of the U.S. Marshals Service, Eastern District of Louisiana, from the task force. And Operation Boudat, as we said, just completed. And he's here to talk to us about the results. Brian, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Wanted to get all that background in there. And I just wanted to say again, Brian, you know how I feel about the U.S. Marshals Task Force. I say all the time that you guys could find a tick on the ass of a donkey in the middle of the Mojave Desert. And I mean it. And I've seen some of the work that you guys have done. And we are most appreciative for the effort and really appreciative of Operation Boudat and you guys working with Crime Stoppers every year to put that on. So tell us about the results of Operation Boudat 2024.
Well, we think this was one of our most successful operations yet of Operation Boudat. We've been doing Operation Boudat in some way, shape, or form since about 2008 or 2009. And this year there were over 50 arrests. 16 of the arrests are for failure to register as a sex offender violations, which is a big part of the operation. A missing 13-year-old child was recovered for NOPD. She was recovered in Chalmette. We also would like to spotlight that 21 people were arrested on open sex charges, like new charges where they haven't been convicted or anything.
Is that on your side? That's
on my side. I got rid of it. We have some new doorbell system we got.
I'm looking around and
sorry about that.
Like, where's the heck? So say that last thing again that you were just saying.
So about 21 about of this. The arrests as part of the operations were for open sex-based offenses, many of them involving children. So that was huge, just that alone, the 21 people on open charges, because it's taking people off the street that are committing rapes or harming children and things like that. So,
and there are still some at large that y'all are actually looking for, correct?
Correct. There were 31 people featured on the photo spread that we did with Crime Stoppers. So far, we've gotten 11 people were cleared off the photo spread. So there's still quite a few more that we're after. There's 20 remaining targets on the list. One of the targets was actually taken off. It was found out he was deceased, which is fine. That helped a sex offender unit in Jefferson Parish find his whereabouts. Nobody knew he was deceased. He had disappeared, relocated to the Baton Rouge area, and now we were able to clear him off the registry based on the operation.
Any of these cases of particular interest to you guys that kind of got a little bit maybe out of the ordinary?
I mean, we do this every day, so I hate to call it ordinary, but it almost seems ordinary for us. There were several that we spotlighted on our press release. Obviously, the arrest of Jaleel Williams for the murder of the Cox Cable technician was a huge case for us. With acting with the Crime Stoppers tip, we were able to arrest him at the New Orleans train and bus station. He was getting ready to flee the city at the time, had a loaded firearm in a bag on his person. He was also wanted out of New Orleans besides the murder for an armed robbery. And I don't know if they've charged him yet, but he was definitely a person of interest in an armed robbery in Jefferson Parish. So allegedly he was going all over the place and causing a lot of problems.
Yeah. With the highlight on the immigration challenge that we have and the focus on that, and most recently these confirmation hearings and some of the actions of Homeland Security recently, did y'all come across any illegal immigrants that were picked up in this operation?
Well, let me start with yesterday. I'm trying to remember if we had any during the operation, but we actually arrested an illegal yesterday. We were provided a warrant from the New Orleans Police Department for first-degree rape of a 13-year-old child on a person that was of Honduran descent. So we went out on that yesterday with members of ICE, and ultimately we went out in New Orleans but ended up locating that person in Metairie yesterday and arrested him. He was booked with an immigration hold. Historically, at one point or another, we've had somebody from both ICE and Border Patrol on our task force. So we've, over the years, worked quite a few things with ICE and HSI and U.S. Border Patrol. I'm trying to remember offhand. Yes, we did. One of the female that we recovered, the 13-year-old female, she was missing out of New Orleans and was alleged to be involved with young men that are illegal as well and involved in gang activity across the New Orleans area, breaking into cars. And these young men are in possession of rifles and handguns from information that we received. So we recovered that young lady in Chalmette with the help of the St. Bernard Sheriff's Office. And ultimately, HSI came in to look at the people involved for further disposition or to figure out what happened.
I noticed on the press release, I thought there was Jose Brasino Molina.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's correct. You were my head.
On an aggravated sexual assault of children. We hear this a lot. And the reason I ask it is to highlight that this, you know, when we see these stories, it's typically in other places that we read about. But I was kind of moved that by the fact that I saw two or three that were involved in Operation Boudat.
Yeah, so Jose Molina, we were contacted by our office in Houston, or the Southern District of Texas, and they asked for assistance on the case because they had info that he was in Jefferson Parish and that he was trying to come up with enough money from a job he had cutting hair to flee to Mexico. So working with our task force and with the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, they were able to locate him in the 700 block of Terry Parkway and make an arrest, and an ice hold was placed on him. There was another good case, too, I guess I should spotlight, on a Parnell Wilson. The Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office had asked us for help on the case several months ago, and they had information that he was floating back and forth between Tangipahoa and New Orleans. He was already under probation and parole supervision, and a new warrant was issued for him for first-degree rape of an 8-year-old girl. That girl also, there was another adult female involved in that matter, and she was already in jail in Tangipahoa. But Tangipahoa was having difficulty locating Mr. Wilson, so they asked for our assistance. And ultimately, from us going out and working this case, he finally went into the probation and parole office in New Orleans and was arrested. He was not aware of that warrant at the time, but finally able to get him to go in and arrest him and get him off of the streets.
And the interesting thing about a number of these individuals that y'all removed, you know, my experience tells me that there was a pretty high propensity that they were going to reoffend. That's what they do, right?
Often, yeah, we find that too often. If they're offending, that more than likely a lot of the times they're going to reoffend. And that's why the sex offender registration thing is so important to us. That's one of the missions of the Marshal Service under the Adam Walsh Act, is to look for unregistered sex offenders and make sure that they stay in compliance, that the public knows where they live and can just keep an extra set of eyes on them. Not everyone reoffends, but some of them definitely do.
Is there anything, I don't know how to coin it, like a new trend that you're seeing out there?
I mean, not offhand, I mean, that I can think of. It's, you know, the normal violent offenses that we work. We're seeing,
you know, there's
the
always a unique way of luring kids to, you know, their attempt to lure kids. I know, you know, when the internet came on, that was a big deal about, you know, Facebook, this, that, or otherwise. I didn't know if there was a modality that they were using today that was might be different.
I mean, we are seeing more cases because we have a missing child unit, so we are seeing cases where the females are running away, or males, even males, both, and they're being lured by an older adult or something, and they just disappear with that person. So we are seeing some of that, and some of it relates to sex trafficking, and then some of it just relates to that particular adult committing sex crimes with the runaway. So we definitely are seeing an uptick in that.
Is there any uptick with, I just lost my train of thought. I apologize. But final thoughts.
I mean, just like this is a partnership. The only way we can do this work is with all the agencies cooperating with the help from Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers has been a champion of what we do for years. They were extremely helpful. There was a triple murder in Jefferson Parish earlier in April, and through a Crime Stoppers tip, we were able to locate a Noel Marine for 3 counts of first-degree murder, and that was based on critical assistance from Crime Stoppers. So everything we do is a partnership. If we tried to act alone, we wouldn't have the results that we have.
I've been a big fan of Crime Stoppers for a long time. People don't really realize how many tips law enforcement receives from Crime Stoppers, do they?
No, we've received quite a few, and sometimes the tips route through here for other states, and we'll forward it to our partner agencies in, say, Arizona or whatever state it is, and for them to act on it. So it's a huge part of what we do. I mean, while we investigate things, we rely on the help from the public, and we can't do our job without help from the public.
This resurgence of immigration enforcement that we've seen in the past several days, has the U.S. Marshals Task Force played a role in that around the country?
I mean, we're starting to. We always have. If there are immigration issues, like over the years, I've told you we had our partners with ICE and Border Patrol on our task force and HSI. If we come across any immigration issues, we're contacting them, or they're stepping in to determine immigration status. There's going to be more of that, I would think, based on the current what's going on, which we're involved in. Yeah, well, yesterday we were involved in it. We had ICE with us, and they took over the detention part of the person that we arrested. So eventually that person, if convicted, will be sent back to Honduras after he serves his time.
You know, it's interesting, and I was hearing, I heard some comments that Tom Homan made yesterday that a lot of people don't realize is that if your local jail, your doesn't cooperate with federal authorities to include you guys, and you release folks on charges that otherwise y'all will have to go out there and find, you're really increasing the level of you're not making the community safer. Is what I'm trying to say. I don't know why I'm at a loss for words. I should know that know this backwards and forwards. But
right.
you're really making the community unsafe because you're compelling law enforcement to go out there and conduct these operations. And the operations that y'all conduct relative to these serious offenders and felons, it's creates a an environment of being unsafe out there because there are no guarantees when you conduct these operations, right?
Yeah, correct. I mean, the people that we are looking for are all wanted for violent felony offenses or for violations of their sex offender registration. So they already have issues with felonies. Many of them involve firearms, crimes of murder, and things like that. So it's already the stuff that we do is high risk, absolutely. So, yeah. And the being that their immigration status is illegal, it makes it more difficult to find because they don't have ties to the community like the normal people that we deal with. So it makes it even more difficult. Not to say we can't do it, but it just adds another element of difficulty to doing the job.
Yeah, it takes a lot more time, a lot more assets, a lot more resources in order to do so. Complete total waste, especially if they were in jail and folks are not turning them over to federal authorities. It just doesn't make much sense to me at all. Brian Fair, as always, we truly appreciate the job that you and all of your partners in the U.S. Marshals Service does for our community and all of the participating agencies. We thank them as well. And great job and congratulations on the success.
Thank you. Good to talk with you again.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Congratulations to the Sheriff's Office in St. Tammany Parish. It seized 16,000 fentanyl pills during a traffic stop near Slidell. It was reported this morning the largest fentanyl pill seizure ever. By the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office. The pills were found hidden in the sunroof area of a GMC Yukon that was stopped on U.S. Highway 11 Tuesday night after the driver had committed several traffic violations on that roadway. The Sheriff's Office said that two individuals were taken down, Taiwan Anthony, 21, of Pearl River, and Reginald Henry, 41, also of Pearl River, were arrested on drug possession and distribution counts. This is a great example. Most of this stuff is coming up through Mexico, across the border. The fentanyl, obviously, from China. It is, then manufactured into pills like this, brought across the border. This is probably going to be the history on this stuff that was seized by the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office. I'm sure they'll be reporting out more information on that, but congratulations to them. 16,000 pills with fentanyl. Who knows how many people could have died from this. We'll be right back. When we come back, folks, after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Michael Heck, president and CEO of G&O Inc., and Chris Kane, partner at Adams & Reeves, who is the outgoing G&O Inc. board chair. And we'll talk about Super Bowl Palooza.